there's joy in following Jesus every moment of the day. There's joy in following Jesus every step along life's rugged way. Yes, I'll go wherever he leads me, on the land or the sea. There's joy.
Good morning and welcome to each and everyone this morning. We're so glad that you're here. We're glad that we didn't get a snow day today. We was kind of considering that or thinking that we possibly might, but the Lord has blessed us. And the further we got out here, the less snow there was. So we're thankful for that. And so glad that you're here and you're able to drive in safety now. The roads are clear. Welcome to each and every one of you. Want to share with you a few lines from Psalms 142, reads like this. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walk have thy privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know thee. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. For they are strong. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Thank you, O Lord. Let us praise him.
For him, we'll worship this morning. We'll use number 64, singing the first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful that we have another opportunity to come here to worship and to praise you and honor you. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for each one who's made effort this morning to be here. How encouraging it is, Heavenly Father. We know that according to the weather and so forth, it makes it difficult sometimes for us to get together, but we're so glad that we can come this morning and be together and just praise you. We thank you, dear God, for this past week. You've blessed us in a wonderful way. You've helped us through it. You've helped us with the difficulties we've had. Heavenly Father, and we have health issues that you've helped us with, and we pray, Heavenly Father, against those things that we're affected by, and that's in the air right now that many people are catching. We pray against those, that our people would not be subject to those, that, Heavenly Father, they'll be well, and those that are absent from us because of various illnesses and virus and maybe colds and different things of that nature. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll be made well, that they'll be healed, that they'll be able to be back in the midst of the next large day. Help us, dear God, we pray, to do those things. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be encouragers one to another. Help us to realize who is not here and who is ill and who is weak and who needs help. Help us, Heavenly Father, that may be strong to be able to help those in whatever way possible. So now, Heavenly Father, as we come, our goal this morning is to honor you and to thank you for your goodness through the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're going to use number 170. 170, first and last.
Jesus, love me forever, free from the power of evil can sever. He gave his life a ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Your blood, my soul, for Jesus has saved me.
As you look around this morning, you see that we have several people absent. Last week, we had a good group here last week, and now we're about half that many today, and several of them are ill. We'll share a little bit of that with you. Had a birthday tomorrow for Angela, and Angela's already been serenaded this morning already for tomorrow's birthday. Happy birthday tomorrow, Angela. Okay, as we consider those on our prayer list, we haven't talked to anybody with updates this morning, but as we go down the list, we know Pauline's not here mostly because of the weather. She's doing fairly well, but we pray that she'll continue to do better. Ada, she has got a sore throat and so forth, and she's not able to be here. And let's see who else back that way. And then we come up this side. Debbie is not here because she's off to a funeral, and somebody else over here. I was thinking somebody else.
Frank.
Frank's not here. Who? I'm sorry. Okay. They're probably, reckon, because weather, or are they ill, you know? Okay. Also, we have word that Miss Gaines is very ill, very weak, and they have called, she's under hospice care now. So then, if you don't mind, you say an extra prayer for that family. And we don't know what's going to take place there. Somebody. Rest of the people on our prayer list, I didn't get to talk to Ron and Tina back there. Dad about the same, or is he doing better? No. I'm sorry, I can't hear.
About the same.
Okay, all right, thank you. I'm sorry, Tina. I meant to ask you, in fact, I meant to text you yesterday and see. And we just pray that things will go well for him. Who else back here? Take your prayer list and go down the line. And you know, we've talked to you about just about everybody that's on there and their needs and so forth. So pray for them in that way. Pray that God will bless them in that way. And I think it's good, and I encourage you to do that sometimes, but that's why we ask, you know, give us some information so that we'll know what's going on, and then we'll pray for that particular need and so forth. And so thank you for your prayers. Certainly those are our service people, those who caregivers and such, and the doctors and nurses and so forth that really do a tremendous work. And I count them to be servants of God. He uses them in such a wonderful way, and they do such a wonderful job in caring and compassionate and just lovely people that cares about the well-being of others that God uses in a great way. So be thankful for them. What else we got? The church family, naturally, for all them. Anybody that...
If you would please remember my sister, Karen. She lives about 1 mile from a hospital in Northern California where there is a case of that coronavirus.
Wow. Okay.
And,
yeah, thank you.
So please remember Karen and all the people that all right. are exposed.
We know that thing is really spreading, and we want to earnestly pray for that, against that. You know, I'm trying to figure out, and forgive me if I say this wrong, that I'm trying to figure out, is that a plague from God, or is it an attack by Satan? It's one or the other. I haven't been able to, you know, the way the nation's in, the way the world's in, I tend to think that it's an attack from Satan, that he has control over those things, and he's the destroyer, and that's what's really happening. People's lives are being destroyed. People are dying. I was reading in the hundreds, I believe I read, there's in the hundreds that have died from that, and it's spread into Africa and other places now, and so it is a terrible, terrible thing. And so we want to pray against it. And I'll go on record to say, I really believe it's a tactic of Satan on the people of God, really, and on God's people and such. So thank you for reminding me of that. And Virginia, I missed her a while ago. Virginia isn't here because, is Virginia ill? Does anybody know her? She just doesn't want to get out. She doesn't want to get out and get with the people. And I don't blame you for that. And I really encourage you to be careful about what you're doing and where you're going. I was telling Doodle this morning, we were down to Costco's last week, and Tammy and Ashley and Maxine were walking around shopping there, and I thought I'd just sit in this big comfortable chair. And so I sat down in a big old comfortable chair, stretched back, you know, like this, and I thought, boy, I shouldn't be sitting in this chair. How many people are still in that chair? And so you want to be cautious, I think, of where you're doing, what you're doing, and so forth. So I jumped out of that chair right now. The Lord said, get out of that chair, man. You don't want that stuff, you know. And so be cautious of where you're at and what you're doing, and take care of yourself and so forth, and try to not catch any of that stuff. We pray that you won't. Okay, so we come to our prayer time, then remember there's so many needs in people's lives. God is a great God. He hears our prayers. We talked about that this morning. The Bible says he hears our prayers, and we want to seriously and sincerely pray to God. We know he answers. We know he hears, and we can expect an answer because he's just that kind of God. Let's praise him and pray to him.
For prayer hymn this morning, we're using number 220, first and last verse, and Doodle will have her prayer. That's all we stand.
Like a woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, and lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
The invitation hymn be number 378, 378.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're silly. All right. Aren't you guys glad to be here this morning? I know I am. If most of you don't know, my grandmother, her name is Joy Jenkins. She lives with us, and I stay at home with her and help her out. She recently had, I don't want to say heart surgery because most people think open heart. She didn't have open heart surgery, but she had an atrial valve replaced to help her breathe better. And she's doing very well. And my mother came home last night, and she's still in Signature doing her physical therapy so she can get well enough to come back home and be a little more mobile. And my mother comes home last night. She stops in just about every day or at least every other day to visit her, to give her what she needs and that kind of thing. And she said, oh, it has been a day. My mother is about to drive me crazy. And I look, because that it rarely comes out of my mom's mouth that she's getting agitated. And she was telling me the story. Mama is gathering fluid around her legs, and it's causing them to itch. And she wants to scratch and scratch, and she'll draw blood just because it won't go away. And my mom, she went to go buy like one of those shower brushes, like softer bristles, so that she could reach down and she could scratch, but hopefully it wouldn't draw blood. And my mom, she got down and she was scratching her legs for her with that brush, and Mama said, now honey, if I didn't see you standing there rubbing on my legs like that and trying to scratch them, I wouldn't know you were doing anything. And she's getting frustrated too, because she's got this problem that she just can't seem to fix, and nothing anybody is doing is working for her. So it's kind of frustrating for everybody all around. So just ask that you pray for her and pray for my mom and everybody else that's kind of in this situation. We'll figure out what's going on to help her. That leading up to this, that despite what we go through down here, what we're dealing with, whether it's a minor problem that's just getting on your nerves like itchy legs, or something that's really trivial, if you know Jesus, there's coming a day where you don't have to deal with that anymore. Amen. And that's all going away. And if you know this song, I encourage you to sing with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Is that okay?
Need some help?
No, I think I got it.
For the most part, you want to sing with me?
Not today.
So, I heard this song probably about a month ago, and it touched me pretty good. And I knew as soon as I heard it that I was going to be singing it. I connect with it on several levels, and If you all don't feel the same connection, I at least hope that you walk away with the fact that your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. And if it wasn't for the people praying for me, I wouldn't be here. So I'm going to try to get through this without crying. Thanks, Chastity. That's my favorite song. Thanks, one of them, and you almost made me cry. And you've already got my tear ducts worked up. Daddy never came to church on Sunday. He said, that's one thing I'll never do. But Mama never gave up. She said, one day he'll be sitting here beside me and you. I can still hear Mama sob. Easter Sunday, Daddy walked in, and that's when I began to understand. When Mama prayed, good things happen. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall.
Thank you, folks, for your special music. We appreciate that all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I noticed the choir was really short today, weren't they? Yeah, people missing. We got to get these people prayed back in here. Yeah, thank you, Michael. And thank you, and for your special back there, too, also. I failed to mention two others that was missing, and that was Donna and Kim, but they're off to some project they're working on, right? They're not... We're glad that they're not ill, anyhow. Okay. We're back to, we're going to stay on it for a while. Looking back. And this morning I just got the title from Luke 17:32, and the second shortest verse in the Bible. And Jesus said this. He said, and Jesus really said it with a command. And really, Jesus was very serious when he said this. He said, remember Lot's wife. And so the subject this morning is remember Lot's wife. Heard of this preacher was telling one time, this particular church, and he said they had a clock. Instead of it on a side wall, as this one is here, it was in the back, on the back wall. And he said he noticed from week to week, he said people turning around and looking at that clock. And so he said he was going to take care of that. So next week when they came in, why, they happened to notice there, right underneath the clock was this sign. And it said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Don't be looking back. This morning, actually, our message just deals with Genesis chapter 19. I'm not going to read it. You know pretty well, most of you know that chapter and know the essence. And we're going to be using it this week and next week. We're going to be talking about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife this week and next week. We're going to try to answer the question, why did she look back? And that hopefully help to see why many people look back today. But this morning I want to consider, remember Lot's wife. Jesus had just been asking the Pharisees, had just been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come. And he made several mentions of it. He said that the coming of the kingdom is like the flash of lightning and an instant light in the sky. And he compared it to the flood of Noah. And then he said, remember Lot's wife. And he was referring to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Lot's day. Those who hear are warned to be ready. Jesus was talking about the time to come. And when he does come, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Wonderful day for so many. And it's going to be a terrible day for so many. And that's why he warns the people here. And I think the warning is to us today that we ought to remember these things that took place. And Jesus said when he comes, it's going to be likened to them. There's going to certainly be the destruction. We hate to think about that, I know that. But Jesus said it's going to come. When he comes, then the dead in Christ is going to rise. All that are alive are going to be caught up with him. Judgment's going to take place. And the saints, so to speak, are the people of God, the people who are following Jesus, the people who have got their hand to the plow and following Jesus and sharing the wonderful story of salvation. They're going to be caught up. And then he says, the rest is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to reap their reward in hell. And they're going to be a similarity there of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he said, remember Lot's wife. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to remember Abraham. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to remember Isaac or Jacob. We are not commanded to remember Ruth or Rahab. Those, even though that we find there's some Lot's wife and Rahab and some of the women in there are bad women of the Bible and naughty women also. I've got a sermon started on that, and then someday I'll preach it for you women. Have a women's come and preach it just to women. The naughty women of the Bible or the bad women of the Bible. There was a lot of them. I'm down, I think. I got listed, I think, 8 right now. And interesting story. But we have here Rahab, and Lot's wife, and Lot's wife, part of her looking back, had to do with her, probably the naughtiness that she participated in Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll follow that next week a little bit with that. But we're not, David, we're not even reminded, you know, to David, great king. I don't read, Jesus didn't say, remember King David. But he says, remember Lot's wife. We are told to awaken our sluggish memories. That's what he's doing. As Jesus said to these people, they were slow to learn. Sometimes I think we are too. And so we're reminded to wake up our sluggish memories and look back at the death of one soul who passed through this life, lived in sin, and died in sin. Lot's wife. What is there to remember about Lot's wife? She was married to Lot, lived in Sodom before God destroyed it, along with her husband there. She was married. They had to Lot, Abraham's nephew. We know they had two daughters, and it depends on how you read it and how you look at it, whether they had more or not. Some could say, and if you read it that way, it could be that she might have had four daughters, because it says that the angels told Lot that the destruction was coming and to get the family and get them out of there. And it said he went to his two son-in-laws. And then it speaks of his two virgin daughters. So we could conclude there that he possibly had four daughters. But then when you look on it on the other hand, it could only be the two daughters, because in that day when you were engaged, that was equally to the marriage today. And so it could have been that he called these son-in-laws because they were engaged to the daughters. I don't know. Doesn't mean a whole lot to us. Doesn't make a lot of difference. Doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. But it's interesting to speculate sometimes on those things. And so they was warned. God commanded them to get out through the angels that God had sent. He told them to get out. It's going to be destroyed. And said, take your family and get out of here, Lot. That's what we know about the surface of Lot's story. And that's about all we know, is the surface part of it. But when we study her story, we can learn even more about her and how she lived and why she died like she did. So remember Lot's wife. So let's consider some things about Lot's wife here this morning. First of all, she had spiritual privileges. Just like you folks, you have spiritual privileges. Some of you had spiritual privileges when you were growing up. Your mother and dad were church-going people and so forth. I don't know about Lot's wife, how far back, but I know that she had spiritual privileges. I know that because Lot's wife had the privilege of being married to the one and into the one and only family, one and only family on the earth that was serving the one and only true God. What a privilege that would have been if we consider that. The only family at that time that was worshiping the true God was Abraham's family. She had the privilege of being married into that righteous family, that godly family, that family whom God loved, as the scripture says. I wonder if Lot's wife had any idea what she was getting into when she married Lot. And I wonder if Lot had any idea what he was getting into when he married this woman. Makes me think, you know, I was thinking when I was working on that and all the publicity that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle is getting, you know. I wonder if Meghan Markle is expected all that she's getting when she married the prince. And I wonder if the prince thought about what all he was getting himself into when he married Meghan. every day they're in the news, aren't they? They're into something. Somebody's got something to say about them and do about them and so forth. So we wonder. I wonder then. You know, I think that probably Prince Harry was attracted to Meghan's beauty. She is a beautiful lady, isn't she? But I think she was probably attracted to his royalty. And she could capture onto that. That would really advance her. We don't know. That's speculation. I don't know here when Lot's wife, when I don't know what the situation was with her and Lot, whether they dated and so forth, and whether she realized the grandeur of this family or not. But nevertheless, Lot had this nephew of righteous Abraham. And James says that Abraham was called the friend of God. She had seen the faith of Abraham. There's no doubt with it in my mind that when Abraham built his altars around there, even though they were at some distance now divided out, and maybe she was there when they divided up. I don't know. I just can't get a real handle on where she came from. I want to place her sometimes that she came back with Lot. I'm not sure. Other times I want to believe that she was from Sodom and Gomorrah. And I preach her that way most of the time. But I don't know where they came from, where she came from, really. But nevertheless, she became here not only into this righteous family, but to the richest family. There was nobody richer than Abraham. We see that in the conversation with Melchizedek later on. And so she did marry into not only a religious family, but a rich family. She had seen, no doubt, the altars that he had built, I'm sure. If I place her before time, if I place her that she came back from Egypt with them, I don't know that she did. But if I place her there, I know she's seen the altars built. I know she's seen Abraham worship. And the scriptures talk about righteous Lot. So I believe at some time, if I put her in Sodom and Gomorrah, or in Sodom, if I put that Lot met her there, I'm convinced that Lot at some time or another went back and worshiped with Abraham. Little distant, but I just surmise that surely at some time, because Lot spent about 20 years in Sodom. And I read a couple times where, well, they said she had to come with Lot from somewhere else. She couldn't have been in Sodom because he wasn't there. But oh yes, she could. And they used the two daughters about that. But heck, that's no problem, is it? Because he was there about 20 years. And if he met her and married her, which they did pretty quick in those years, that could put those two girls up into teenagers and just no problem at all. So you can get her either way you want to put her there. And I can't prove to you either way. I can surmise. And I can speculate, and we're allowed to do that sometimes, especially as preachers. But no, it's interesting, isn't it, to try to figure out some of the things that aren't there. So she had witness. I know this. She had witness of the power of God operating on Abraham. So there's no doubt she knew this God that Abraham worshiped. And she knew the power of this man, Abraham. Here's how I tell you why. You remember when the five kings come together and they took the whole territory down there and they took Sodom and they took Abram and his family and all his goods, and Abraham heard about it and he brings his force and he overtakes these kings and he gets Lot and his family and stuff and back. Now, Abraham, I forget the number, only 100 and some soldiers, so to speak, Abraham had, servants that were in war. Five kings, Abraham comes against five kings. Hard to tell how their artillery force. And when he does, He overtakes all of them. What happened there? Nothing less than the power of God. God is at work. Lot's wife had to see that. She was in it. She was part of it. So she knew. She associated with. She was acquainted with. She was had spiritual privileges. And you know, I'm not going to get onto that, but friends, you ought to realize you have some spiritual privileges because you serve this God of Abraham. She had witnessed his altars, the worship, and the power of God. Now, Lot's wife saw the spiritual blunders of Lot too. Lot, even though Peter says that and calls Lot a righteous man, in which we see and know that what he sinned, when you study, you understand a little bit of what's going on there, what that means. But Lot had many spiritual failures. Biggest failure was being in Sodom. Another failure he did when he separated from Abraham. So we can see those, and she recognized that. Lot made many mistakes. He had spiritual failures. Lot traded the highlands of Canaan for the lowlands of the valley of Jordan. He traded his tent dwelling in Bethel for a townhouse in Sodom. He traded his promised land for a pagan land. Lot had some spiritual problems. And she recognized that. Even though Lot made a number of spiritual mistakes, he still called. 2 Peter 2:6, Peter writes about him, and he calls him a righteous man. A righteous man. He vexed himself. We'll talk about that next week, about what's taking place there. But the scripture says, this righteous man, Lot, vexed himself against all the corruption and the immorality and all the homosexual and all the terrible things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He vexed his soul daily, even though he must have been possibly the mayor of Sodom. He was a man of means, and he gained popularity, so to speak. He gained prestige in Sodom. How did I know that? He sat at the gate and judged out there. So he had a prominent place. He had a rule of telling what could happen, what not to happen. So Peter calls him a righteous man. He vexed himself with that filthy lifestyle around him. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Some thoughts. This teaches me, and I truly believe that we are living today, that we're living in the most unclean, immoral, lawless time of my life. I believe that. I never seen or heard of such things in my life that's going on today. You know, Jesus talked to a son and he said, you know, that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to make you feel ashamed at judgment. I hope that's not a reference to America. I hope that's not a reference to our great nation. But he told some, because of their lewdness and so forth, and as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah was, that they would make them feel ashamed at judgment. God knows how to deliver godly people from the ungodly. If you think about this, Lot and his wife, I wish she had a name. I hate to keep calling her Lot's wife, don't you? But, you know, I read where somebody said her name was Edith. And then someone said to replace the E with an A, and it's Adith. And then there's another short name they have for her. She doesn't have a name. We don't know her name. Even though some of the historians wants to write and tell her that it is, we don't know what her. She's Lot's wife. That's all she was ever known. That's all she'll ever be known is Lot's wife. But we know this. Lot intermingled. His family was in that working thing of Sodom. They were outstanding citizens of Sodom. They were right in the ugliness, the lewdness of Sodom. And God sent the angels there to say, get out of here. So I say to you today, even though we're living what I believe to be the worst times ever for people of this nation, the ugliness, the lewdness, the lawlessness, God knows how to deliver his righteous people. There, right there, is very plainly how he brought Lot and his wife and two daughters out of Sodom. He knows. Now I say to you, don't get upset. And I'm not really upset. I'm a little bit angry because we don't have people in power that's taking care of some of that stuff. But I know this. God was able to deliver Lot from Sodom. And if we will follow him, if we'll keep trusting him, he'll deliver you and me. He'll deliver us who are looking to him. He'll deliver us from all the unrighteousness that we're in now. He knows how to do that. Lot's wife lived in sin and she died in sin. But Lot's wife could have benefited if she had just latched on to Lot's righteousness. She could have really benefited if she would have really took up to the righteousness of old Abraham. But then this teaches me something else. You will never get in heaven because of your righteous dad, your righteous mother, your righteous aunt, your righteous uncle. As a matter of fact, you will never get in heaven riding on the shirt tail of your husband or your wife. The only way you'll get into God's great heaven is through your own righteousness. Your own righteousness. That righteousness that is inputted into you by the Savior Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God. Now I say Lot was acquainted with God. I said she knew about the worship of Abraham. She saw the power of God work on Abraham. And surely she was acquainted with God. Surely she was acquainted somewhat with God. Surely she couldn't live with Lot without really coming to know somewhat or a whole lot about God. Her relationship with Lot and Abraham, she had come to learn and know many things about God. She had to, didn't she? You just couldn't get away from that. Abraham didn't hide his faith. I don't know about Lot. Only thing I know about Lot, he didn't have much influence on Sodom. But Abraham didn't hide his faith. So she knew somewhat, and more probably than what we know of her, about God. She had seen them approach God. There's no doubt about it that she had been in the worship with Abraham and Lot at some times. She had known how to approach God. Surely she had learned who God was and how others approached him. Yet she failed to practice it. That which she had seen and learned and even knowing to be the right thing to do, she failed to do. This morning I wonder as we're gathered here and I think about all across America, of the many, many people who have not sealed their relationship with God through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many do you suppose sit in church houses just like you're sitting this morning? Just like you're here. You can visualize across America, there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people sitting in pews like you're sitting in this morning. And they have watched others. And they know how to come to God. But they fail to do it. They fail to do it. As much as I would think about these thousands of people that are sitting in pews, they have seen people get up out of the pew, make their way to the aisle, and come to forward and acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. Been baptized in the baptistry, raised to walk in the newness of life. There's thousands upon thousands have seen that time after time. And just like Lot's wife, she knew how to approach God. She had been with Lot and Abraham. She failed to do it. She failed to do it. And it's very sad, isn't it, to think that there's thousands upon thousands this morning, and probably right now, thousands of church houses across America are singing the invitation hymn. And there's thousands of people that have sat there before, have seen people come to God, but they won't get up and come. That's sad. They know something about God. They know how to approach God. They just don't do it. And you know, even farther than that, as I think about across the nation, I think about a little place like Porter Church. And I wonder, you know, when we come together here, sometimes the church house is practically full. Last week it was almost full. And I wonder how many that have seen others approach God, seen others come and seal their relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the salvation that we receive through Jesus, yet fail to do it. But you know, another thought is this. When I think about the thousands and thousands across the nation, that as we started out with, you know, that they put their hand to the plow and they've looked back. That was Lot's wife's downfall. That's what did her in. She looked back. She was told with the family. She knew. The angels had told her. She heard him talking to Lot. Get out of here. Go. Don't look back. And she looked back. Why? Next week. But I wonder today, how many have put their hand to the plow, the gospel plow, and started following Jesus, that have turned back, looked back, gone back in the old way, But you know, it's really encouraging, isn't it? Because we're here today. And again, as I think about across this nation, the thousands and thousands in the thousands of churches, there's the opportunity. There's the opportunity for those who saw people come and haven't come. It's a grand opportunity right now today. And I prayed before I left home this morning. I prayed, Fred, across this nation, as we sit here today, right here at this hour, I prayed that across this nation we could just see thousands get up and come and take Jesus as Savior. And then on top of that, I prayed, Lord, those who have put their hand to the plow and looked back, may they come this morning and renew their relationship. Oh, it's going to happen, friends. Destruction's coming. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And God's not willing that any should perish. That ought to be our desire. Not a person in his church, not a person in his community should perish. But if we don't keep plowing, they will. Stand and let us sing. You saw, you know, and you know better than I do whether you need to do something this morning or not. If you do, don't put it off. Remember Lot's wife. First verse only.
Surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus as the Savior, I surrender all.
Folks, if you'll be seated for just a moment. We're so glad that you're here. We're so happy that you're a part of this congregation, that you're a part of this church family, and you're so encouraging to me as a preacher. I hope you're encouraging to each other as that. We just love you and just want, the Lord to work well in your life. You let Him do that. But right now, we're going to do a thing. The Holy Spirit moved me to get with the elders. And I really do believe in the working of the Holy Spirit and His guidance. And maybe, in my prayer time this morning, it seemed as if the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me. So plain. And I'm thinking about all this virus thing that's taking place and all the sickness and stuff and all the things that are taking place, and Satan is using them to his benefit. And he said, Benny, have the elders and you pray over the family. And so we want to do that this morning. And here's how we're going to do it. And I'll share you this and you can follow right into this. It's almost like the elders laying hands on you, you know what? When we go through this, Omer's going to be over here, and Virgil's going to be back here, and Doodle's going to be over here. That's our elders. Thank God for our elders. Amen. I believe in elders' prayer. And as little as I am, I'll close the prayer. But what I'll ask you to do, just sit still, and we'll bow together as these three men pray. And then when Doodle finishes, then I'm going to turn around. And I'm going to ask you to stand and open your eyes and look at the cross. And I'll close our prayer. Okay?
All right. Gentlemen, if we will do that, Virgil, Omer, if you'll stand right over there. Virgil, here. And Doodles over here. Virgil, step out now. I'll be in the middle there, Virgil, so they can all look back, look around. There we go. Let us bow as these fellows pray, not only for this congregation here, we're going to pray a covering over you. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will just hover over you, keep you safe, and keep you well. And then they're going to also be praying for the nation and for the world, however they want to name that, that the Holy Spirit will go all over. He can do it. Let's pray together. Stand together. Almighty God in heaven, we gaze upon this cross, and we know there's nothing magic about the cross, but there's miraculous things of the one that hung on that cross. He demonstrated in his life the wonder-working power of God as he reached out to heal, give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and clean the issue of blood from 12 years. How powerful your word is to heal. So as we put together all these prayers today, our hearts and our minds, we pray, yea, Lord, for this congregation. We pray the Holy Spirit just hover over this congregation and those that are the congregation that are absent, dear God, also, that every day you will be with them, that every day you will protect them, that these diseases that comes from the Satan's hand will not come near us to grieve us or pain us. We want to worship you and we want to live in the joy of the Lord. And we want to always honor you. And we want to be well to do that, Heavenly Father, and we know that you can do it. We pray with these men, Heavenly Father, for this great nation. What a turmoil we're in. And what a threat this disease that's going across the nation and around the world is. But we're looking to this cross. Not only to this cross, we're looking at to the one who hung on that cross, who come off of it, that we could be cured of our sins, that He could reach out and heal us and strengthen us in our walk and in our talk. And so help us as we go forth this week to share this. If everybody would put their minds and their hearts and their eyes on Jesus, this world would change. We pray that it happen even this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.